Dear Eve, roses are red, violets are blue. I will eat the apple if you tell me to. Love, Adam. I found this and some other biblical character Valentines created by the Reverend Joanna Hatterer online. I visit her website often for sermon research and liturgy ideas. I hadn't imagined that I would run across biblical Valentines or Ash Wednesday-themed Valentines with sayings like this. She walks in beauty like the night, of cloudy gloom and darkest skies. Behold, the ash and oil unite to form a cross between her eyes. But there they were, clever, and also a solid illustration of what a Lenten journey with Jesus is about. It's about integrating. It's not Ash Wednesday or Valentine's Day. It's not church or worldly. It's not joy or sacrifice. It's about all these things in balance and integrated in our lives. It's about having the ways of God take root in our daily life and allowing our everyday to be transformed, disrupted, rearranged by God's love. Discipleship is a 24/7 experience, not a fragment of our day or week. It is this integrating kind of thing which Jesus addresses in our sacred story this morning. A man approaches him wanting to know how he gets in on eternal life. This man seems to sense that there is something beyond and more profound than his current day-to-day. He approaches the rabbi to find out how to access that more. Jesus responds, reminding him of the commandments, the ways of living that build community and honor others. And the man's got this. He feels really good. He's been following these commandments for his whole life, and he reports that to Jesus. He's in. He can exhale with hope. Jesus isn't through, though. Jesus looks at him with love and goes on to tell him to sell everything he has and give it to the poor. And the story goes on to say that he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Why was he grieving? Was he grieving because he wasn't ready to give up his stuff and realize that he was going to choose his material possessions over a deeper connection to the holy? Or was he grieving because, as wonderful as it was going to be more deeply connected to Jesus, he had really great memories of the times he had spent on his fancy camel saddle, and it hurt his heart to let that saddle go? We don't know what his choice was. We only hear that he went away grieving. Jesus goes on to teach more about possessions and how they can get in the way of our connecting to God. He says, and I paraphrase a bit, but he says that it's easier for Elon Musk to fit into the night deposit box of Citibank than for a rich person to enter the kingdom. He continues teaching about kingdom ways which are upside down from cultural norms. He teaches with love. He invites people into a way of living that is in sync with, rooted in, sacred love, integrated, human day-to-day, infused and shaped by God's love and values. It's not one or the other. Jesus invites us to join these together, and he asks us to look into our lives and notice what gets in the way of that happening. For some of us, it is our possessions. It's us trusting and relying on money over and above trust and reliance on God. Money itself is not a problem or bad, but how we use it and how we attach to it can be. Money can be used for healing and restoring. It can provide food for the hungry, shelter for the migrant. It can also be used to build barriers to hide behind and bombs to destroy. It can become our false god. It can be the tool to be fully alive. It's nuanced, not either or. Money is one of the things that can get in the way of our connection to God. There are plenty others. Fear, substances, food, anger, addiction. Plenty of things that can impede our connection to God. And yet some of them can also bolster our connection. It depends on how we use them and on our priorities. We are beginning our Lenten journey. We are walking with Jesus toward the brutality and oppression of Jerusalem. We are entering into the place where the empire flexes its muscle to execute those who get in the way. We walk toward betrayal, denial, and injustice. Brutal crucifixion to silence the story and love of a different kind of world. We walk toward all of that. There's no way around it. And it's not the end of the story. There are those 3 days while Jesus is in a tomb. His followers had had their dreams snuffed out, and all they had worked for seemed for naught. But the story was not over. While the empire gloats and the disciples tremble, resurrecting love transforms devastation into a future. It's not what was. It's something new. It's of God. No earthly horrors or behaviors can stop it. God was present then. God is present now. Resurrecting love continues. And in Lent, we are attentive to what gets in the way of our recognizing, receiving, relying on what God is enabling. We are attentive so that we can take action to get the barriers out of the way, that we might fully receive and participate in creating the new heaven and earth which God is enabling. This morning, those present in the physical church received a cloth pocket with a portion of a shell in it. The shell can represent the things that get in the way of our connecting to God. Or it might also represent what helps you connect more to God. Or it can be both. This is given to you as a tangible reminder that there are things which turn us from God or interrupt our discipleship. Given to you as a tangible reminder that we can relocate or remove things which get in the way. We can wrap something around a jagged edge to keep it from cutting or hurting. We can break off a piece that is too big, but part of it is of value. We can toss the whole shell out and replace it with something that makes it easier for us to join in Jesus' way. This is how my shell has been working on and in me. I have a sermon writing chair. Yes, I am a person of ritual. And this chair is also a favorite scratching post for my cat. It looks horrid. So I've decided I would look for a used replacement chair. I set a price and geographical distance limits, and I looked compulsively on Facebook Marketplace. Too many times, too many minutes scrolling silly chairs. But then I found one I liked, and it was both more expensive and further away than what my parameters were. So I scrolled some more times, and I went back, and I looked at the chair, and I scrolled, and I finally made an offer, less than the asking price, but still more than I was going to pay. And picking up that chair has become a ridiculous logistical conundrum. I don't have it yet, so I still do some scrolling just in case. And while this process goes on week after week, I seemed to get more hooked on the need to have a replacement chair. I could barely write a sermon this week in that scratched up chair. So in the midst of this, I got a message from Jeral, our Fuller Center Haitian friend, not Junior for whom we're waiting, but someone else, with a reminder that some tuition was due. 6 years ago, on a trip to Haiti, there was a boy who was hanging around the building site during the day. He was hanging around because he didn't go to school. He couldn't speak. Our team was concerned for him. And when we learned that there was a teacher that could help him, though he was deaf, they were all in to pay his tuition. Right away, money was given, and we got him in school. And then we all returned home, and life took over. Our young friend, who we call Mater, because he had a tomato on his t-shirt, Mater is still in school, which is great news for him. However, each time I get asked to cover money for his schooling, I internally fuss that the people who wanted to get him in school are no longer contributing to make that happen. I fussed when I read Jeral's message asking for the next payment. Now it's just me, or if I reach out, two of us who get to help him. And while I was fussing in my head about that expense, I recognized that I was not struggling with getting myself a chair that I didn't really need. There's a shell. There's a shell blocking my generosity and my connection to God. Looking at him with love, Jesus told the man to sell what he owned, because what he owned was blocking him from fullness of life. What he owned operated in his life like this shell, and money was acting in my life. I could give it to someone and not have any responsibility for paying attention to it any longer. I could clasp onto it tightly, making sure not to lose it, having an imprint, an indent in my palm, reminding me that I have a shell, a gift, a blessing that's also hurting me at the same time. Or I could hold it loosely, able to share it or hold it. Dear God, roses are red, violets are blue. Help us let go of what blocks us from you. Amen.